Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
So I ministered the book the chapter Psalm 23 over this summer. And I'm so thankful for this season of refreshing, times of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. And so as I went through Psalm 23, and for those that are online, and those even in-house, if you missed any, then they're all online. You can go back and hear all the messages. But let me begin a recap before we go to our very last one. Psalm chapter 23. I began with, God is and I am. God is and I am. Psalm chapter 23, verse 1a. The Lord is my shepherd. I am his sheep. See, the Lord, the sovereign, the eternal, most wise God, the mighty shepherd who cannot and does not sleep, who knows everything and who owns everything. He is mine. He's my shepherd. That was the first message. Then the second verse, green pastures. My provider, that's who he is. His recipient, that's who I am. The word of the Lord leads us and it keeps us. Where? In green pastures. See, God's word is a rich meal that we can feed on. His word nourishes our soul. God's word strengthens our bodies. God's word stabilizes us amidst our tormentors. If you remember in the green pastures, there's tormentors, and that's why the shepherd leads them in. God's word also reminds us of his presence always with us. Verse 2, still waters. Who is he? He's my caregiver. Who am I? I'm his patient. If you missed that one, go back and see it. That was preached by the waters here in Pickering. When we drink from the wells of the world, we will never be satisfied. And there are people that are drinking the filth of the world, drinking the lies of the world, drinking all the materialism of the world, all the secularism of the world. You will never be satisfied. But when you drink from the well of salvation, you will be full satisfied and forever blessed. He leads me beside still water. What kind of water is it? Water that is safe. There are many who are led to dirty waters. Dirty water, you may be able to sip on it. You may be able to mix it with something, but ultimately it will destroy. But when God gives us his water, and when we receive the water of the Lord, it cleanses, it refreshes, it revives, so that when our soul is sorrowful, we can be revived. When our soul is sinful, we can become sanctified. When our soul grows weak, we can be strengthened. That is what David the shepherd was trying to remind us of, the power of who our God is. And then verse 3, he leads us in the path of righteousness. Who is he? He's our guide. Who am I? I'm his follower. We cannot move in the path of righteousness until God is leading us completely and we are following wholeheartedly. John 10 verse 9 says, Christ is the gate. Whoever enters the gate of eternal life will be saved and they will find green pastures. We've got to come into salvation. So online and in-house, if you've not yet acknowledged the Lord as your personal Savior, you are guiding yourself, but you cannot guide yourself into green pasture. You cannot guide yourself to still water, and you cannot guide yourself into righteousness. Only the great shepherd can guide you into these peaceful places. In verse 4, fear no shadows. Who is he? My protector. Who am I? I'm his precious possession. And I preached on shadows remind us that we must keep on walking. It's not over. Keep on walking. It's not over. Even when it feels like it's over, it's not over. Even in the shadow, shadows are valleys. And it says in the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, shadows are things that are simulating something else but are not real. So remember that when you're in your valleys and all you can see are shadows, that all you got to do is keep on walking, keep on looking to the Creator, keep on looking to your God. For he will guide you from where you are to where you need to be. Many of us, we just want the mountains, but mountains are for moments, and yet valleys are for growth and development. Sometimes it's in the valley that you find your greatest power and strength and peace of mind, because on the mountain we're too busy looking at the landscape and everything before us. So we got to remember, the mountains are just for moments. You don't stay there. The air is too high. The valleys is for growth and development. The shepherd, our guide, is with us in all of this. And he says this, what? Fear no evil. Fear no evil. Let me just repeat that. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. There are many times when we get there, we fall apart in there. But that's when we got to remind ourselves, it's a valley, it's a shadow, but God is with me. And then verse 4b, rod and staff. Who is he? He's my guardian, my parent. Who am I? I'm his child. The rod is an instrument. The rod is a stop sign. The rod helps the sheep when the sheep become negligent, idle, and lazy. The rod is an instrument of protection. It's used to beat away the attackers that come to destroy us, because the shepherd is our protector. The rod is a surgeon's tool. It is an instrument that the physician uses to help us be healed, to help find the wounds and the scars, and then to add the ointment. The rod is also a staff. The staff is an instrument of care and compassion. That's what he uses to pull us up, to pick us up in our despair, and to help us to continue on. The rod and the staff are the Spirit of God in us. The staff guides, it helps, it heals, it delivers, it strengthens, and so much more. That's what David was trying to communicate to us. All of these are in the messages that were preached before. And then verse 5, the table and the oil, the bountiful host. Who is he? My bountiful, endless host. Who am I? His honored guest. A banqueting table is symbolic of a space and time that represents peace, resting and refreshing and feasting. And he says in that time of resting and refreshing and feasting that his abundant joy will be poured upon us so that our cups overflow. Joy is supplied by the Lord himself, our generous and our gracious host. So while we are being confronted by Satan and daily attacked and oppressed, we are also comforted by sitting at his table. And that is an option. No one will put you at the table. You have to choose to go and sit at the table yourself. The table can be spread and you walk away, or you come and you pull up a chair and sit and join the company of believers at the table. Do you know sometimes you cook dinner and you spread the table and one person will say, I don't want to sit here, I'll go sit over there, and they're all by themselves, but they're missing the community of the table. And those of you online that have not come into the house and you're able to, I want you to know you're missing the community of the table, because when we're coming together, there is an energy, a synergy, a joy, a bubbling. You don't get that sitting in a distance. You get that when you pull up where? At the table. And then he anoints my head with oil. Oil. Oil stands for refreshing. Oil stands for richness. Oil stands for purity. Oil stands for healing. Oil stands for restoration. Oil stands for replenishing. Oil stands for honoring. And oil stands for igniting. Basically, David is saying, when you allow the oil of the Spirit to go upon you, you are refreshed. You are rich. You're pure. You're healed, you're restored, you're replenished, you're honored, and you are ignited with the fire of God. Ooh, David, come on now. So good, so good. He anoints my head with oil. So we come now to the final verse of chapter 23 of Psalm. And what does that final verse say? Surely, goodness and mercy. Who is he? My creator. Who am I? His created being. His created being. And verse 6 says, goodness and mercy. The creator will take care of his created being. The problem of our world today is people think that they are their own God, their own creators. They're in charge of their own destiny. Nobody can tell me anything. I know what I'm doing. Everyone that says, I know what I'm doing, you usually sit back and watch the disaster one after the other because you don't know what you're doing. Only he knows what we should be doing. When we're not listening to him, we're doing what we want to do, not what he created us to do and to be. And so it just keeps spiraling. Goodness and mercy. So the Creator promises this, and so that I and you can purpose in our hearts, there's two things that are going to happen here. It's going to be a promise and a privilege. Let me read it in three versions of the Bible. I read first from the NIV, verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then in the New Living it says, surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the day. Don't you love that? It's going to pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in the Message version it says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. I pray somebody will say today, I'm back home in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. That's a purposing. So there are two words that we need to observe in this power-packed psalm, where every single word in Psalm 23 matters. I preached it verse by verse, but you know you could almost preach it word by word. Psalm 23 is so powerful, it can be preached word by word. But here's the two words, and I had to split it because it means the same. The first one is surely, the second one is all or every. Okay, that was supposed to have an and or, that was supposed to have an or. All or every. Some versions will say all, some will say every. Surely all, or surely every. In every case, in every instance that you see your life going in any direction, God promises his goodness and his mercy will surely be there. And it's very easy to see goodness and mercy when all is going well, when health is excellent, income is flourishing, and family is well, and friends are good to you. But what happens when the chips are down? Do you know what the chips are down means? When a serious and difficult situation arises, do you remember then to see the goodness and mercy of God that is still with you, even in the midst of the chips being down, of the anxiety, of the difficulty, of the situation? When it all changes, can you still see that God is still good? Because you see, if you can't see it, you're not in the land of the living. As long as you're in the land of the living, you ought to see God is still good to you because you're still alive. Come on, somebody. Problem is, we want to dictate to God what our life should be after we make our mistakes. And he's like, no, I've always been trying to guide you, and you didn't want me to guide you, and you guided yourself. So now I've helped you to stay in the land of the living, but trust me that my goodness is still there for you, and my mercy kept you here. When sickness is at the door and the bills are piled up, when the family is in chaos and the friends speak evil of you, when all seems to be caving in, will you still choose to see the goodness and the mercy of God in the midst of the other situations. If we only see God's goodness when everything is good, then we don't know our God. Because he says, surely in all things. What does the Bible say? In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God concerning us. So, the answer for us is given in the Word of God. And it's lived out and it's proven by the human shepherd David, who is trying to show us the divine shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. David took his shepherd's life, and he's trying to demonstrate to us that if you want to understand God, look at what I had to do with sheep and recognize that's what God has to do with us. When a sheep is stubborn, remember the rod, he had to use it to poke them. But then nowadays, if you poke somebody, everything falls apart. I could call the police. Or you got 6-year-old kids. I'm going to call the police on you. There's a crazy show called Medea. Crazy. And the young girl said, I'm going to call the police. And she says, well, you better call now because it'll take them at least 6 minutes to get here. I got 5 minutes to kill you. Or something like that. I don't remember the timing, but she put it in perspective. The shepherd speaks and gives an assurance to each one of us. And that's what we need to grasp today and hold on to tomorrow. But we've got to remember, with the assurance he gives us, it's a privilege, and that privilege needs a response. So he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all or every day of your life. What is the privilege? The privilege then is, so I will dwell in the house of the Lord. See, we want everything coming to us, but no answer going back to God. Today, we need to make a decision if there's going to be answers that go back to our God, responses. Shepherd speaks. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anybody hear that? I want to speak, praise God. I want to speak to some that are online that you have not recognized that you have drifted. When it comes to, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are many of you who've drifted and you didn't see the drifter happening. You're like a stick that went in the water and it's gone way off course, but you don't realize it because you told yourself, oh, I'm just taking time out. Never take time out from God, because you would never want God to take time out from you. When we strive to live in obedience to God's word, when we're determined to follow God's precepts, his precepts and principles, then we will acknowledge the shepherd's promise, and it is extended to us, and the shepherd's promise holds a guarantee. With surely is a wrapping, it's a stamp, it's a guarantee, it's an unchangeable, it's a nobody can take it away. Oh, hell can break loose, but surely he's still with you. Oh, hell can come against you, but surely it's with you. That's why when you were going to go off, I'm like, leave my message alone. Let me walk this one through. When God is with you, nothing can be destroying you, because God, his protection and his provision is there. Surely, the shepherd says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Can you say that for yourself? Can you say it to yourself? Say it now, everybody. Some of you said it like, you see, you were reading it. No demon is scared. when you're reading something, you know what scares the devil? It's when it's coming from inside here. You want to scare the devil today? You tell the devil what you know inside, not here. See, this can trick you because this changes. This changes. You know what? This changes every minute. Huh? You can fill this up with all the education and even the theories can change. The math I did, I can't even help kids with their homework now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going, what kind of math is this? Oh, it changed. And when we did calculus, we used our rulers and our things. And we, you know, remember, guys, we had our little triangle thing. What do you call it again? We did it. Now they've got so much over theory, under theory, could have been a theory. And they're like so escalated in my, but that everything changes. But when the heart knows who God is, when the heart knows the will of God, when the heart knows the way of God, when the heart knows the word of God, and you declare to the devil, the enemy, the adversary, the agitator, the one that's coming to destroy you and destroy your mind, when you say to it, surely goodness and mercy shall. All the days, every day, which when I like the words all and every, all means all encompassing, there's nothing left. Every means, no matter which day you get up, goodness and mercy. This is when I should have brought my puppy for an example. Now read that with me on three. One, two, three. See, what will goodness and mercy do? It'll follow you. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. For how long? See, God gives us a promise, and then we have a privilege. So get excited about the privilege that you now have, and you've been given. See, you can, what happens if goodness and mercy is following you? You can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can dwell. The house. It doesn't just mean the literal house. It means that being under the guidance, under the power of the Holy Spirit, under God's care, even when nothing else is working. You could be cast on a desert, and what would keep you going is God is with me. We preach even that when they were in the walking, when Israel was walking through 40 years, goodness and mercy followed them all the days. Folks, I want you to get this part in your spirit today because this promise is unchangeable and the privilege should be acceptable. I accept the privilege of serving the Lord, even when we're post-pandemic and many people, 40% of those who said they were Christians around the world have given up. That's a shocking reality that after post-pandemic, when more people should have come to the Lord, 40% of those who profess to have known the Savior have drifted from every church around the world, even in remote countries. That's a devil moment. But I want to tell you, it's a privilege to know who God is and to be in relationship with Him. I was on a train going to Montreal, and I was seated beside a priest from another religion. So you get going, you're talking, hi, how are you, da, da, da. Says, what do you do? I was studying, says, oh, I'm a minister. He goes, oh, well, I'm a priest in my religion. And it was another religion that we don't aspire to. And so he started to question me about my Christian faith. And he says, do you ever worry that maybe you're wrong and you're wasting all these years believing in this God that you do? And I just paused. I said, no, I'm not worried. I said, because nothing else in life makes sense. Nothing explains the peace I have when things are not good. Nothing explains why I could still have joy when there's no reason to be joyful. I said, where does that come from? Nobody gave it to me. I didn't learn it in school, and nobody can give it to me. I didn't pay for it, and I don't have enough money to pay for how I feel. I said, even when I'm asleep, I hear him speaking in my heart. I wake up in the morning, and I know he spoke to me. I said, who's going to take that away from me? In the midst of my trials, I have found that he's always been there to pick me up and turn me around. And I just went off on him in the train. The people all around me were starting to bow their heads because they were like, she gone off. I was off. This man comes sit beside me in the train, up like a devil, telling me my God ain't real. I am sorry. No. Meanwhile, he's serving a God that gave him no peace, so he's worrying about wondering about God. My God gave me so much peace. Oh, glory to God. I'm not worried. He's real. My God is real, and my God will always be real. He orders our steps. I'll tell you, that man shut up, and the rest of the train stayed quiet. People started reading. You ever seen when people all go... You're looking around going, come again, come again. Oh, glory to God. No, I'm telling you, that it bothered me. Come asking me, aren't you worried that you're wasting your life? You guys are wasting your life. What happens when judgment comes? You're going to say to God, I should have tried you. It's a bit too late then. I'm not wasting my life. And those online, if you're wondering, is this God real? Nothing is more real than my God. And if it was a mistake, do it this way, because you get so much blessing, because goodness and mercy follow you. And then when you get there, you could say, I don't want it. Oh, Rebashek, oh, glory to God. See, goodness is God's nature, but mercy is God's gift. He uses mercy and uses love. Goodness is his nature. You can't change who God is. Mercy is his gift or his love, whichever way you want to look at it. So who will take care of me when everything in this cosmos is crumbling? Daily is crumbling. I sleep in peace. I have an assurance. His goodness supplies all my needs, and his mercy cancels all my sins. His goodness takes care of my steps, and his mercy takes care of my stumbles. Aren't you glad? His goodness will take care of everything while the world is crumbling. That is why it still hurts me that people could go away from the Lord as we're coming closer to the end of time and seeing the world in chaos. How could I walk away from serving God with the gladness in my heart? Psalm 100 said, come before him in with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Can I encourage you, when you come up on Sunday mornings, start coming up early and come up with a song in your heart. Walk in the church feeling something, because your fire will light fire all over the place. I'm tired of us coming in like we're doing God a duty and a service. It's a blessing to know that the greatness of God has been extended to us. Come up with something inside you. If there's a day we never have a pianist on there and you come up, this church should have fire in the house, because these can sing and clap. By the way, they never had a piano in the wilderness. They just made some music and melody from their heart. You better get ready to sing. God is so good with no music. Oh, my God. Nicosa, stand up, and without anything, just start it one round for me right there. Nothing. Just start it one and let them follow.
God, you're so good.
You stop now. Come on. Carabasho Kurubai.
God, you're so good. You're so good.
I love him so. Just start it. I love him so.
I love him so.
I love him.
I'm not finished my message, but God is so good. Come on.
God,
online.
You're so good.
Just be seated for a moment. His goodness supplies our needs. His mercy canceled our sins. His goodness takes care of our steps. His mercy takes care of our stumbles. That's why David says, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Psalm 84. Folks, recognize that without the hand of God, the good shepherd overshadowing us, we wouldn't make it because Satan lurks at every corner trying to pluck us off and he wants to destroy. Can I tell you this morning, you're not alive because of yourself. You're alive because of the power of prayer, his goodness extended through others. You're not alive today because, Isaiah, you're not in this house because of yourself. You're in this house because I and your parents and your community and your youth leaders been praying for you. How many times have I come off the platform and draped you up and held you in my hand? How many times have I walked away from my seat and come and hugged you so that you would know you're loved? God spared you because you're coming home. Let me ask you all today, are you mindful today of the goodness and the mercy of the Lord? Psalm 23, verse 1 to 6, I'm going to read it in the message, I love it. My God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. See, sheep are always conscious of the shepherd's presence. All through the psalm that we preach, you heard that. Sheep rest in his care. Sheep relies on his attentiveness. Sheep understand his diligent hands. Sheep listen to his loving voice. Are you mindful today that his peace and his presence is for a purpose in your life? And that is the response, I will dwell. It is a purposing. It's when you make a decision. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, no matter what happened. I will dwell. That is a conscious decision. That is a personal, determined effort. I will dwell. I will dwell. And this is a crowning moment in all of our lives. I don't know if I have a slide there, but move to it. I will dwell, I will dwell, I will dwell. You know what he's saying? You make that decision today. I will dwell. This must be a crowning moment because us humans have started to please ourselves, not please God. And so the sorrows, the joys, the triumphs that present in life, we blame God for it. Rather than blame ourselves for our failures. How many people blame God? I would serve God, but I went through this. I'm sorry. Did God put you through that, or was that a part of your determined decision? There are times we blame God for what we did wrong. Oh, let me continue here this morning. While we're on this earthly journey and we're receiving his goodness and his mercy, God's mercy and goodness flows from Christ's sacrifice for us. So I'm going to ask you a big question. What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? How are you listening to the Lord? Here's why it's important. Sheep are dumb. Remember? I preached that in other ones, right? And sheep are seemingly useless. People would think sheep are useless. because they're difficult to lead. But they are an absolute blessing to any farmer because of their manure. The poop of the sheep is the best part of the sheep. So ask God, what's the best part of you? See, when the sheep has feasted and is contented, they leave, you heard the words? Sit at the table, feast. Still waters, contentment, refreshed. Then they leave behind a precious deposit which nourishes any farmland. Sheep manure, like some other animal manures, but more so sheep manure, is a natural, slow-release fertilizer. The nutrients in sheep manure fertilizer provide adequate nourishment for any type of garden. It is high in, it is high in both phosphorus and potassium, in essential elements, and it's great for optimal plant growth. It is said, listen to this part, in the following years, in the following years after sheep have grazed a pasture, the pasture, even if it was barren before, becomes lush and fertile, and the land becomes rich in producing anything that is planted there. So sheep leave the land richer than they found it by feasting where the shepherd took them. See, if the sheep ate where it wanted, the grass that it might eat is dry or poisonous. The water it drinks may not be good, and so then it's got a different type of output. You know, they call that the daraya. But when the sheep eats where the shepherd brought it, and when the sheep drinks where the shepherd led it, and when the sheep goes into any pasture and deposits, the farmland begins to produce. Oh God, even in our worst moment, you still use us. Oh, friends, here's my conclusion. Sheep leave the land richer than how they found it. Philip Keller asked this question: will you leave behind any lasting richness, and will you replenish, will what you leave replenish itself here on earth? Will you leave behind any lasting richness? Will your life replenish itself here on earth? See, when you're living just for yourself, just to get your fizz and your biz and your fuzz and your buzz, that wears off and nothing is left of you. But when you're living for Him, even in your worst moments, your life leaves a lasting impression for others. Thanksgiving Sunday, I'm going to pick up on the passage that I skipped over. We just used it quickly. I shall not want. We're planning a huge food bank drive for those who are food compromised. This church has always been a blessing to improve food banks or to help food banks. But this Thanksgiving, I want to see a mountain out there. So start shopping for everything, including diapers. And as I said, don't just buy the cheapest little thing and give the can that is expired. You eat the expired one. Let's start preparing. Every time you shop this from now until Thanksgiving Sunday, every time you shop, pick up a few things and start making some boxes for the food bank and start buying some tangible things, because you should leave the land. You know what? There's a lot of people who got wealthy during COVID. There's a lot of people who became worse in poverty because of COVID. But we, the church, will not stay there. We are going to be a blessing, not just in the physical. That's the physical aspect. But I want to ask you, His privileges is granted to us because of His sacrificial love. His assurance is given because the shepherd lives. His promises are yea and amen. It's affirming to us. So ask yourself, what are you leaving behind? Are you leaving peace or turmoil? Are you leaving forgiveness or bitterness? Are you leaving contentment or conflict? Are you leaving joy or frustration? Are you leaving love or discord? Are you leaving eternal rewards or tarnished material goods? Could you just grab your cell phones and take a picture of that for me? And ask yourself the question, what am I leaving? What am I leaving behind? What am I leaving behind? The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For you, God, are the creator, and I'm your created being. So surely, because of my relationship and my commitment to you, because it's a privilege to have the honor of knowing who Christ is, I will serve you all the days of my life. Next, this coming Saturday, we have our development time. Transform. We need to be transformed so we can be a blessing to others. So the goodness and the mercy that follows us will follow many others. Just bow your heads for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those who are not yet walking in salvation. For all of these privileges and promises come out of relationship. We cannot expect privilege without relationship. We cannot expect to take a promise without relationship. We don't take promises from strangers. We don't know them. We take promises from the ones we know, the ones we love, and the ones we know love us. So Father, oh God Almighty, let the promises of your word that is granted for all to receive be accepted today. Let each person who has not yet made that decision recognize it's a privilege for God to give me opportunity to be in relationship with him. So right here in the house and online, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to encourage you today. It is necessary. It is right, and it's a good privilege. Is there anyone who would say, Pastor Marie, I want to acknowledge the Lord as my Savior. I want to confess him as my Lord today. Would you pray for me? Online, if that's you, you can go in our chat line. Someone's there waiting for you. You can email us at prayer, but it is very important you make that decision. Is there anyone in the house who'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to accept the Lord as my Savior today, because I want his goodness and his mercy to follow me all the days of my life. Anyone here today, just raise your hand wherever you are, and I'm looking out to see. This is a great day to make that decision, a great moment. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. You may put your hands down now. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? This is it. This is the greatest privilege. Thank you. Holy Spirit. I need two of our deacons standing here so after he can come. But with everyone, say this prayer with me, those online and those right here. Dear Lord Jesus, and sir, have you raised your hand? Say it from your heart. That's all that it takes. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for extending your goodness to me. Thank you for your mercy. I acknowledge today that I have been walking in sin. But I want to walk in your path. Lead me. Guide me. Help me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Deliver me from my sins. God, you've always loved me. I confess my love for you. I acknowledge that you died and rose again. You did it for me. You're now living in heaven, and you pray and intercede for me. So here I am. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my path. I'm accepting your goodness. I'm thanking you for your mercy. I want to be your child forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. That's what it takes. And online, that's all it takes. Would you connect with us so we can pray with you, encourage you, walk with you, serve you, raise your hand right after, encourage you just to come and meet two of our deacons, one of our male deacons. Would you get on over there right now? Two of our deacons just stand there. Would everyone would stand with us this morning? Let's close this service with Psalm 23. And I don't even know if I have it in there fully. But we're going to just say it all together again. I think you're going to have to just pick a version. You got the Message version? Is there any other version I put there? Nope. Okay, well, let's go with the Message version. Let me see if I can find it here. Let's read this one together on three. One, two, three. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. What? All the days of my life. And I will do what? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, it is a privilege to know that your goodness is chasing after us. It is a joy to know that your mercy has been extended to us. So Lord God, we make our commitment in song today. I want to live in the goodness of the Lord. I want to dwell in your presence forever. I speak that over our congregation, in-house and online. God, we call people back, oh God, into the kingdom value, kingdom worship, kingdom service. Many have drifted, and oh God, we pray for them that they would see that the enemy has subtly removed from them the joy of their salvation. God, we intercede on their behalf. Father God, perhaps in somewhere in this journey of 2-3 years, the chips were down, but they forgot your goodness and your mercy was still with them. But Lord, today, we ask you deliver, restore, redeem, renew, revive. And oh God, I pray over this great congregation in this place today. Let the Spirit of the Lord be mighty. As we go out into our work world, Father, let the Spirit ooze out of us. As the kids go back to school, we pray a divine power and presence upon them. Set them apart, oh God. Father, every predator, every adversary, oh God Almighty, you are their shepherd. They are your sheep. Every evil agenda, oh God, everything in the curriculum that is not right, oh God, protect their minds and their hearts from it. In the name of Jesus, we pray over our children and our children's children. children. We pray by the power of the Spirit that, oh God Almighty, a release would come in the name of Jesus. Let, oh God, every child that is in the nursery, in the kindergarten, in the children's church, we speak the power and presence of God over them. Anoint their heads with oil and let their cups run over in the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your love and your goodness. And now, Lord, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord who has so graced us with his goodness. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.